Hello, and welcome to the Anxiety RX podcast, a show created by an anxiety specialist and neuroscientist, me, that offers unique, practical, and actionable advice to help you understand what anxiety truly is and exactly what you can do to empower yourself to resolve it. I'm your host, Dr. Russell Kennedy, an MD who suffered with crippling anxiety for 30-plus years, and traditional therapy from psychiatrists and psychologists really didn't help me feel better. And I also didn't like being on psych meds. In 2013, after burning out and leaving medical practice, I came to the conclusion that if I was ever going to heal my anxiety, I would have to do it myself. And that's exactly what I did, drawing from experiences with psychedelics and holistic healing, and combining those modalities with my scientific academic background in medicine, neuroscience, and developmental psychology. Here on the Anxiety RX podcast, I offer a distinctly non-traditional and non-medical approach to understanding and healing anxiety. So despite the fact I'm trained as a physician, in no way is what I say and suggest to be construed as medical advice, because none of the ways I use to resolve anxiety has anything to do with traditional allopathic medicine. From my own healing, I've created a distinctly non-traditional understanding and approach that helps thousands of people from all over the world understand and relieve their chronic anxiety. So if you're ready, let's get into today's episode. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Anxiety RX podcast. I am your host, Dr. Russell Kennedy, and today I am going to talk in kind of a stream of consciousness way, because I've been hearing a lot of things lately about allowing your thoughts, feeling your thoughts, feeling your emotions, and a lot of it is cognitive. A lot of it is, okay, do I feel sad? Do I feel happy? Do I feel envious, jealous, whatever it is. And really what I try and get people to do is just not think about it at all. Because as soon as you enter that cognitive realm, that realm of thinking, you kind of lose the emotion. And I think that's a lot of what happens with anxiety is that we have this alarm in our body and we have to figure it out. And the way we figure it out is we create worries. We create what ifs, warnings, worst case scenarios to make sense of this alarm feeling in our body. So we never really deal with the alarm feeling in our body. We never really sit with it long enough to metabolize it or change it, because as soon as we do that, we compulsively add thoughts to it. We have to figure it out. We have to figure out our emotions, and our emotions have been around a lot longer than our thoughts. And what we do, I believe, is that we try and figure out what our emotions mean. Now, there's nothing wrong with trying to figure out what your emotions mean. Where you run into problems is where you have to figure out what the emotions mean every single time you have an emotion, especially when it comes to alarm, especially when it comes to this old abuse, loss, abandonment, rejection, maturing too early, shame that I call alarms. When you have these, especially in your childhood, they ingrain into you in this body state I call alarm. And if we always go into our heads and try and figure out what the pain is coming from, try to figure out the emotion, we never actually deal with the emotion. We never actually let it metabolize. And I'm hearing a lot of that lately about people say, well, I get very curious about my emotion, which is great. I think that's great. But then there is this compulsive need after the curiosity to figure out what the emotion is. And I'll tell you, most of the times our emotions are not transparent to ourselves. We can have some idea. Like right now, I'm going through a fair amount of sadness because my mother is going through another bad phase, and she went through a bad phase 6 months ago, and I thought she may pass away, and I think she may pass away this time as well. So it's really difficult for me not to analyze my emotions, not to come out with some cognitive reason, oh, you're feeling sad because you're going to miss your mom, or you're feeling anxious because you're worried how her death's going to go. And a lot of times I think it's just a feeling. It's just an emotion. And can I stay with it? And can we stay with emotion? I mean, that's really what metabolizes it. That's really what heals or allows us to heal or puts us in the ballpark of healing is when we allow the emotion without the explanation, what I call sensation without explanation. Because if we can allow the sensation, if you can feel the alarm in your body and just allow it to be there and then just watch your mind, because your mind will compulsively try and tell you, oh, this is sadness, this is grief, whatever it is, or what's worse, your mind will start making up worries and scary stories because your body feels scary or uncomfortable or weird. And what I'm trying to get people to do is just allow the feeling, just allow it to sit there. Now, you don't have to sit in pain for a long period of time. We can do this thing called pendulation, which is you go from this place of negativity, this alarm that you feel in your body. For me, it's in my solar plexus. You probably heard that, you say that a number of times. Where is the alarm in your body? And then find another place in your body that's neutral or feels good. What feels good for me is my breath. So I can often pendulate, go back and forth between this uncomfortable alarm in my body, in my solar plexus, and this feeling of lightness, this feeling of almost pleasure in my breath as it moves through my sinuses, as it moves through my face and down into my lungs. I can really focus on that sensation of breath and how comfortable it is and how calming it is. And then I can go back into the emotion. But you'll notice at no point do I start going, oh, I have to figure out what this emotion is. That's where we get caught. That's where the problem comes. That's where the alarm anxiety cycle takes over, because the alarm in our body that's been there probably since childhood goes up to our brain in this process called interoception. And our brains are constantly reading our body. So if there is a flare-up of this alarm, of this old pain, like when I see my mother now and I see that she's declining and she's probably not going to be around for, you know, a great deal of the future, you know, there is this sense of sadness. But can I allow just the emotion in my body without explaining it? Again, sensation without explanation. This is how we metabolize. This is how we allow the emotion to move through us. If every time we feel an emotion, we have to go up in our heads and develop a cognitive reason for the emotion never gets processed. So we're constantly living this groundhog day of this old uncomfortable emotion. It keeps coming up, but then we reject the emotion. We go into our heads because as children, that's probably how we survived. When you go through alarms as a child, abuse, loss, abandonment, rejection, maturing too early, shame, when you go through those alarms as a child, they're unbearable. So what we do is we go up into our heads and we go up into our thinking minds. And that gives us a little respite from the alarm in the body. The alarm is still there, but we get so used to using worry as a coping strategy. You know, I've said many times, worry is a way of making the uncertain a little more certain. It's a horrible story, but you've made this pain that you have in your side a cancer or something like that. Now, in your brain, when you make the uncertain, what the hell is this pain, to, oh, it must be cancer, in your brain, you get a little shot of dopamine because you're on the right track. So we get trained to worry. We get conditioned to worry because when we worry, we escape the emotion. Temporarily. We escape the emotion temporarily when we worry because the emotion is stuck in our body, and this cognitive explanation in our mind temporarily takes us away from that worry. And we do it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again because it works temporarily. And that's the definition of addiction, doing something over and over that provides short-term relief, but no long-term satisfaction, or on top of that, more pain. So this is what I'm talking about. So my whole process in this little segment I'm talking about today is feel your emotions and then notice your mind's compulsive need to think and figure it out. And then use that mantra that I have, sensation without explanation, because that is what's going to help you. That's what's going to help you process the emotion. Now, if it's really difficult emotion, Yeah. Pendulate, oscillate, find that negative emotion and then go into a place that feels neutral in your body or feels good in your body. And then go back and forth between the two. It's really staying out of your cognitive mind, because your cognitive mind is just distracting you from the emotion, which is its purpose, which was its purpose as a child. It did distract you. It did help you stay away from that emotion. But by the same token, we never get a chance to process it. And I've told this analogy many times, but if you have a motorcycle in your front lawn and you want to learn how to ride that motorcycle, you can read 500 books on how to ride the motorcycle, but you need to get on that motorcycle. You need to ride it. You need to stay on it for a while before you get the confidence of how to ride that motorcycle. And that's analogous to your emotions. You have to stay with the emotion long enough to be able to acclimatize to it. Bessel van der Kolk talks about that in The Body Keeps the Score. We're not teaching people how to get rid of their anxiety or alarm, as I call it. We're teaching people how to acclimatize to the sensation of that anxiety, of that alarm in your body, so that you don't compulsively have to go up in a worry to escape from it. So after a while, if you become acclimatized to this feeling, and this is what I've done, is that I know this feeling in my solar plexus. I kind of have it right now because I'm looking at seeing my mother again today. I see her every day. And every time I think about going to see her, I get this alarm in my solar plexus. And I just sit with it. I stay with it. And sometimes it's pretty uncomfortable. So I will pendulate. I will go into my breath and I'll say, okay, well, let's just take a little break from this. But at no time am I starting to process that emotion cognitively. At no time am I allowing myself to worry about it. I'm just dealing and staying in this realm of emotion, of this realm of feeling. And I see that so much on Instagram. It's like, oh, you know, be curious. Yes, absolutely be curious about the emotion. But you don't have to take that to its endpoint of figuring it out, because you probably won't figure it out. And the more you switch away from that emotion and go into your thinking, the less you actually have a handle and can metabolize that emotion so it can move through you. So it doesn't have to keep hitting the same wall every time and going up, shooting you up into your head. So again, this is this sensation without explanation. When you feel an emotion, even if it's a great emotion, even if it's joy, because I notice, and I write about this in my book, is that when I'm feeling really good, often I will bring myself into a worry to kind of bring myself back down into this sort of state that I'm comfortable with, or state that I know, you know, it's a discomfort zone rather than a comfort zone. Now, I'm much better at it now than I ever used to be, but it's something I noticed about myself is that when I was feeling good, often I will start bringing myself into a worried state because that's familiar to me. You know, we equilibrate, or we equalize feeling with emotion. So if we can get around that compulsion to take a feeling or emotion and explain it and turn it into words, because by definition, if we look at these structures in our brain, pons, medulla, the amygdala, anterior cingulate, all these places that regulate kind of emotion, none of these things understand English, understand words, if English is your language, understand language, I probably should say. So why are we using language to try and metabolize emotion? Now, I understand when you go into psychotherapy, sure, you have to use language. But I am not saying that every single time you feel an emotion, you have to sit there with it and not explain it. What I am saying is that every time you feel an emotion, you do not have to have a cognitive reason for it. This is exactly what I'm saying, is that when you feel an emotion, allow that emotion to stay there without adding explanation. Have the sensation without explanation, because then you start to process the underlying cause. Then you start acclimatizing to this emotion, this feeling, and realizing, hey, you know what? This is uncomfortable, but I can handle it. But if every single time you feel the emotion and you run up into your thoughts, you never deal with the emotion. You never process that alarm, and you'll always have that alarm and the anxiety that goes with it. So I'm really saying allow yourself to be curious about your emotion. Absolutely. But don't allow yourself to always add thoughts to it. Sometimes we need to understand. Sometimes we need to explain what the emotion is, but not every single frickin' time. We have to just let it sit there. Sensation without explanation. We have to just let the emotion sit there so that we can show ourselves consciously and unconsciously that we can process this emotion. We can stay with it. We can stick with it. We don't have to compulsively race up into our thoughts every time we have an uncomfortable emotion. So I'm going to go and see my mother. Thanks for listening. And I'll be back next week. So that's it for today's episode. Thanks for listening, and if the Anxiety RX podcast resonates with you, consider getting my book, also coincidentally called Anxiety RX. Or you can follow me on any of the social media platforms at The Anxiety MD or my website, www.theanxietymd.com. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll see you the next time on the Anxiety RX podcast.